This morning, we again are facing things just a little bit different than normal, but I do believe that God is still here. He is still present. And so let's give him our attention this morning as we dive into the Word of God together. So for the last few weeks, we've been focusing on the remnant. We see that from Genesis to Revelation, God always keeps and works through a remnant. Now, we have been defining the remnant as a reflection of the original. Again, a reflection of the original. To better understand this, we used the analogy of having our home carpeted and how initially that carpet comes in a very large roll, and then it is custom cut and fit to each room. And so as that cutting and that fitting transpires, there are pieces of that carpet that are cut away. Well, when they are cut away, most often they are stored. And so what happens is over time, the carpet that has been laid begins to experience life. It gets used, it gets faded, it gets stained and sun bleached. And so what happens is it begins to become a little distorted. But yet, if we were to go back to that remnant that was cut away and stored, whether it was in the closet or the garage or the outbuilding, what we would see is we would see that that remnant remains a perfect, vibrant reflection of what that carpet originally would have looked like. And so that is kind of a perfect representation of the body of Christ, the church, that remnant that God always separates and keeps. Because through time, as other things get, again, faded and diluted and distorted and all of those things, what happens is that remnant still reflects God's original plan, that his original heart, if you will. And so we, the church, are to be a reflection of God. We are to be a reflection of his kingdom as we remain faithful to the things and to the ways of God, as we develop and example his character, his nature, and his attributes, all of which ultimately should continually help point and lead others to the reality of God, to experience God for themselves, and them too becoming a part of that perfect, vibrant reflection of who God is. Again, as the remnant, we know that we have been both chosen and empowered. And kind of our platform scripture through this series so far has kind of been Romans chapter 11 and verse 5. It says, "And that is but one example of what God is doing in this age of fulfillment. For God's grace empowers his chosen remnant." And again, we do believe that we are living in an age of fulfillment. God is moving. He is working. He is living and he is active within that remnant all around the world. But the part that we've been focusing on is that the age of fulfillment is here, and it is here because God's grace has empowered his chosen remnant to be at work, to be at service for his kingdom. Thus far in this series, we have looked at how as the remnant, we are called first to intercede. And I hope that that has remained very strong in your heart this morning. And knowing that we're called to intercede, we looked at a few things. Number one, understanding the place of intercession. And that is for such a time as this. It is right now. We don't need to wait to intercede till other things happen or things get worse or something of that nature. Our place of intercession is right now for such a time as this. Also, we come to understand our position of intercession, meaning that we are to be relentless in our pursuit of intercession, so to speak. And then thirdly was the power of intercession. And again, while we know the power that we have comes from the Holy Spirit living in us, it is not by might nor by our power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit at work and Him giving us the ability to fast and to approach God with humility and repentance. And that is where the true power of intercession comes in fasting, humility, and repentance. We moved on from intercession, and we know that we are also called to live like sheep and not like goats, because sheep love and value others. Sheep serve the least of these. Sheep hear the voice of the shepherd. They follow his lead, and sheep ignore and avoid the voice of the stranger or those strange things that would call them out and away from the true shepherd. As we continue to better understand our purpose as the remnant, we must recognize the fact that we have been chosen and called out as a light for the lost. And that is where I want to draw our attention this morning. As the remnant, we are to be a light for the lost. I want us to begin in Acts chapter 13, verse 47 this morning. I'll be reading from the Passion Translation for this particular verse. It says, "This will fulfill what the Lord has commanded us. I have destined you to become a beacon light for the nations and release salvation to the ends of the earth." Again, this verse complements what we're given in Matthew chapter 28 as that great commission to go. And again, we need to understand today that we are to go to every place, to the ends of the earth, whatever it may be that God gives us an open door for. Again, whether it's in our home as Jerusalem, Samaria, those extended places, or again, to the ends of the earth, the utmost place that we could think. God, if he sends us, if he gives us opportunity, we need to be going as that beacon light and releasing the word of salvation to the world around us. God has established us as his remnant to be a light for the lost. We are to radiate the saving truth embodied and found only in Jesus Christ. You see, the light of this truth brings salvation. If we focus our hearts and our lives and we dedicate ourselves to being the light and radiating the truth of Jesus Christ, not radiating what we believe is truth or a form of doctrine or things that we think are the best, but again, radiating the truth of Jesus Christ, the truth of Jesus Christ will always bring and produce salvation. It produces God's rescue, if you will, which delivers all those who call on his name and believe. It pulls them, as it has pulled us, from death to life. It pulls those who are in destruction to deliverance, just as it has done for our hearts and our lives today. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9 says, "But you are God's chosen treasure, priests who are kings, a spiritual nation set apart as God's devoted ones. He called you out of darkness to experience his marvelous light, and now he claims you as his very own. He did this so that you would broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the world." Man, that is a mouthful of scripture this morning, and how much power is in that. We need to understand that we have, again, been chosen. God has set us apart, but he has set us apart for a reason. He called us out of darkness into his light for a reason. He did this, again, it says, so that we could broadcast his glorious wonders throughout the world. We have experienced his light for the express purpose of continually living in and living out the light so that the whole world will have a chance to know and experience for themselves the abundant excellencies of God. Again, God always keeps a remnant, those who are faithful to reflect and radiate his kingship, those who are faithful to reflect and radiate his kingdom and his kingdom agenda. It's setting aside everything that we desire for ourselves and understanding that it's all about him being king. It's all about his kingdom and his purpose for his kingdom. So how exactly do we as the remnant ensure that we are a light to the lost? How do we live as that beacon of light? How do we broadcast the light and love of Jesus Christ to the world around us? Now, we could go multiple directions with that line of thought in questioning this morning. There are many avenues that we could explore and discover, but there are four areas that I want us to look at and consider as we move forward, determined to be a light to the lost. The first thing is this: stop complaining. Let me say that again. Number one, stop complaining. Philippians chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 says this: do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. You see, we need to do all things without grumbling or disputing, because when we grumble and dispute, what we do is we create blame. We create a blemish, if you will, and it ruins our witness. It ruins that testimony that we have worked for. And so we need to understand that complaining does not point others to Christ. So church, today we need to stop complaining so that we can shine as lights in this world. From the children of Israel to the church of today, Christians at times can be some of the most forgetful people. We forget God's love. We forget his faithfulness and his goodness, his mercy, his compassion. We forget his forgiveness and provision and protection. We forget his purpose. And ultimately, all of that leads to a position of complaining. When we forget how good that God really is, we begin to complain. We begin to woe is me and why is me and all of those types of things. But here we're encouraged to do all things. Everybody say all things. We're encouraged to do all things without grumbling or disputing. In short, stop complaining. You see, to grumble is to be discontent, which expresses a lack of satisfaction and or contentment. It's finding fault in everyone and in everything. There's never a happy place when we're in a spirit or mode or mindset of complaining. So we have to quit grumbling. We have to quit being discontent. It also says that we are not to be disputing. And to dispute is to allow our mind to continually deliberate or question things as we remain hesitant and or full of doubt. It also denotes intellectual rebellion against God, believing that we know better than he does and that we've got a better way of doing things. You see, it's hard for our light to shine when we never stop complaining. Let me say that again this morning. It is hard for our light to shine when we never stop complaining. If we are to be a light to the lost, we must stop complaining and do all things cheerfully as unto the Lord. Cheerfully, amen? You see, the second thing that we need to do in way of shining our light to be a light to the lost is to present the word. I want us to go back to Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 14 and 15 again, but I want to tag onto that verse, the first half of verse 16. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life. All right, holding fast to the word of life. To hold fast in this context means to present. And to present basically means that we are choosing that as that vessel of light, we're going to constantly and consistently present the word of life to those who are around us. What it basically means, in maybe simple terms for where we are today, it's practicing what we preach. It's not just giving scriptures on Facebook, and then when we go to the supermarket, we don't live those scriptures out. You see, holding fast to the word of life is presenting the word of life in its truest sense, in its greatest authenticity. It's practicing what we preach. It's digesting the word of God and then living it out, because it has impacted your life. You've taken it and you've applied it. And so now we can put it into practice. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, a very familiar passage of scripture this morning, says, study and be eager and do your utmost to present yourself to God approved, tested by trial, a workman who has no cause to be ashamed, correctly analyzing and accurately dividing, rightly handling and skillfully teaching the word of truth. You see, for us to do that today, for us to correctly analyze the word, for us to accurately divide the word, for us to teach the word, we have to be in the word. Amen. You see, our light suffers when we present to others something less than the fullness of the word of life. You see, when we don't dig in, when we don't digest, when we don't commit ourselves to those devotional moments, and we try to just kind of shotgun blast scripture at times in our homes and in our workplaces, online or in the grocery store, wherever it may be, what we're doing is we're actually kind of throwing a wet blanket on our light. We need to understand that when we present the word of life, it needs to be in its fullness. It needs to be undiluted. It needs to be genuine as God has intended it to be. It needs to be expressed again in its fullness. We present the word by staying in the word. If you don't stay in the word, there's no way that you can reflect the word. You see, we can't reflect what we refuse to read. If the only time we're digesting scripture is when we show up at church, or when we show up at church online, and maybe we begin to flip open our Bible, or we see scripture presented on a screen somewhere. If the only time we're digesting scripture is in that moment, we are starving our spirit, man, and our light is suffering. And if our light is suffering, it means that the world around us that needs that light is continuing to suffer. You see, we're called to study to show ourselves approved, which means that we find and place a priority on the word of God. We prioritize our time for the word in our day-to-day lives. It's not something that's secondary. It's not if I get a chance to get to it, but it's staying in the word. It's living in the word. And then it's presenting that word through our life, through our choice, through our actions, through our character in every avenue that we live life for the Lord. So we know that we need to stop complaining. We know that we need to present the word. And thirdly, this morning, we need to be countercultural. We need to be countercultural. I want to take you to Romans chapter 13, and we're going to read verses 12 and then 14. It says, the night is far gone, the day is at hand. So then let us cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Verse 14, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. You see, we need to understand this morning that it is countercultural to put on Jesus in this world today. It's countercultural to make no provision for self, because again, today culture says that self is first. But again, we know that in the kingdom of God, it's serving others that is first. You see, it is the very act that causes our light to shine in the darkness. It's putting on Jesus, and it's making no provision for self. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 10 says, and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge after the image of its creator. And I know today that sometimes we get things a little distorted and we begin to mold ourselves off of other things. But can I just for a minute encourage the body of Christ today to be renewed in the knowledge that we have through the word of God? And let's be renewed, not in the image of our culture, but in the image of our creator. Amen. Because that is who and what we are to bear. We are to bear the image of our creator, not our culture. When the church looks more like the world than it does Christ, there's an issue. Amen. You see, when we bear his image, we begin to live in a way that is counter cultural. And we kind of see that again, what that begins to look like in some of the following verses here in Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. It says, "Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one another has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." Verse 15, "And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." You see, our light shines bright when we live with compassion, when we live with kindness and humility and meekness and patience, when we bear each other's burdens, and when we forgive each other, and when we not just forgive each other, but we remember that we are to forgive as we have been forgiven. You see, our light shines when we put on the love of Christ. Our light shines when we allow the peace of Christ to rule in our hearts, making us one body. You see, it's countercultural to be thankful. It's countercultural to let the word of Christ live in us and lead us and guide us in all that we do. It's countercultural to glean from God's word, not only as individuals, but collectively, whether that's in a church building or in our separate homes online as we're doing today. It's countercultural to worship together, again, whether it's collectively or like we've worshiped this morning in our separate homes. You see, it's countercultural to do these things, but yet we are to strive in word and deed to do everything for the glory of God, which again is counter-cultural today. You see, all of this leads us to our fourth and final point this morning, which is simply to shine. If you've got a neighbor sitting in your living room or wherever you're at today, look at him and say, shine. You see, let me put it this way. It won't do any good to stop complaining, to present the word and be countercultural if we forget to shine. You see, that kind of sums it all up. Stopping complaining, presenting the word, being countercultural, it really will add up to nothing if we just keep ourselves in this kind of reservoir mentality. You see, we're not meant to live as reservoirs. We're meant to live as rivers of living water. And so to be that river of living water, we have to make sure that we shine. There's got to be that radiance that comes from our life. Something has to flow out. It can't just flow in and stay. That which God puts in us has to come out of us. And for it to come out, that means that we have to shine this morning. Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 14 says, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house." Verse 16, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." Our lives lived for Christ are meant to bring light to others. It's meant to happen globally. It's meant to happen locally. And it's meant to happen right here in our own homes this morning. You see, the light of Christ in us should always be at least two things today. Number one, it should always shine before others. If we go back, verse 16 says, "In the same way, let your light shine before others." It can't get any more clear than that. The second thing is it needs to point others to Christ at all times. It says, "So that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." You see, we need to let our light shine. It must be present and active. It can't be the reservoir. It has to be the river. Amen. Because when we become that river of life, reflecting the light and the love of Jesus Christ, others will see those good things that transpire, and it will draw them to come to God. And in the end, the result will be that they will give him the glory. You see, as the remnant this morning, as a reflection of the original, to truly be a light to the lost, we must, number one, stop complaining, church. We must present the word. We must be countercultural, and we must shine. The difference is made when we choose to be the difference. Let me say that again this morning. The difference is made when we choose to be the difference, when we choose to be the remnant, when we choose to live empowered by the grace of God as he has given us the ability to do so. It is no accident that you and I are here today living in this moment of history. God, again, always keeps a remnant. And I believe that for those today who refuse to act like goats and choose to live like sheep, for those who are continually interceding through prayer and fasting for this nation, for the persecuted church around the world, for, again, our families and our friend circles, and for the multiple things that need to be that we need to be interceding for. For us who choose to do that, I believe this morning that we are that remnant. So let's make sure that we are doing what we need to do as we continue, again, to intercede, as we continue to live like sheep and not like goats, and as we continue to be a light for the lost. It's our choice every day that we wake up, whether we're going to be the remnant, that reflection of the original, or we're going to be something that's rejected, something that's counterfeit, something that's less than what we are meant and designed to be in Christ. If you will, I want you to pray with me this morning. Father, I thank you for your word that, again, gives us direction and it gives us challenge. So, Father, this morning I pray, God, that we would step up and be that remnant. God, that vibrant reflection and expression of the fullness of who you are. God, that we would hold nothing back. Lord, that today, as the body of Christ, we would stop complaining. God, that we would always present your word in truth. Lord, that we would not be people who are immersed in the culture, but God, that we would live counterculturally. God, according to your word. And that, God, we would shine the light and the love of Jesus Christ at all times. Lord, that no matter where we're at or who we're with, God, they're going to know that there's something different in our hearts and lives. And God, we're going to have the opportunity to tell them that that difference is you. That difference is your son, Jesus Christ. That difference is the power of your word, the power of your Holy Spirit living and breathing and moving in us. God, help us to be that remnant today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. Today, I hope that you remain encouraged by the word of God. Stay connected. Dig in and dig deep. And I know that, again, the next couple weeks here or so kind of seem up in the air. We're all being quarantined to our own little pockets. But that does not stop our faith in Jesus Christ. God is as powerful today as he was yesterday. And the body of Christ is not a building, but it is the heart and soul of each and every follower of Christ. And so today we are still the church. We are still that remnant. We are still empowered, and we are still called to live out that grace and that truth every single day. So whether we're in those four walls that we call Life Christian Center or the walls of our homes, let's live out our faith to the very best of our ability, and let's be that remnant. I pray God's blessing upon you today, and pray that the rest of the day his word just marinates in your heart, and you just have a great week, and we'll see you Wednesday night online at 7 o'clock. Thank you, and God bless today.